This is Shine On Policycast, the podcast that brings you EU policy updates relevant to solar. I'm your host, Bethany. Let's get started. Welcome back to Shine On Policycast, election season. Today, we're joined by Lena, who is our policy advisor for sustainability. So welcome, Lena.
Thank you, Bethany.
So we have here our manifesto, our solar manifesto, our Solar for Europe manifesto, and you can get that on our website. It's very brightly coloured, and we even have a little cheat sheet that's only 2 pages if you don't want to read the full thing. But the European elections are drawing closer. And in the lead up to the elections, politicians will be focusing on the things that really matter to people. And one issue that touches loads of people's lives, loads of industry lives, is land. And you work in sustainability and you touch a lot on land use. And as part of this season of Policycast, our guests are bringing on a prop, and I have to guess what it has to do with the topic at hand. So, Lena, what is your prop? I can't see it, so I'm very curious.
Which is good. Just to go back to the links, so it also links to a bit a broader concept with not only land mm-hmm. and sustainability, but also to like nature, okay. environment, so okay. all things okay. considered.
Okay.
So today I brought a prop, which oh. is a yellow candle.
Oh, very on brand.
It has a very specific texture and smell, so I think that is a hint for you
okay.
on what exactly is it made of, and I think that will give you a bit
can
of...
Can I smell it?
Absolutely.
Oh, I think I can guess from the hexagonal texture what it is. Oh, and the smell. It smells... It's a honey or beeswax candle, right?
Exactly.
Solar bees.
Exactly.
Is it from solar bees?
So this is not particularly from the solar bees. This is from our neighbors who do... beekeeping, and cool. she also makes like handmade candles, but I think this is just to associate with, you know, how important it is to also consider pollinators mm-hmm. and pollinator habitats, because they do secure food for us and mm-hmm. they do provide healthy ecosystems.
Yeah.
And I just this morning I read an interesting fact about it, that apparently scientists have discovered that every third of the food bite we take, mm-hmm. We take because of the pollinator work that they do.
Yeah.
So I think it's huge. It's massive how much they affect the security of the food. And I think that also then links to the solar because,
yeah.
Well, solar, the good friend it is, it can provide good pollinator habitats. It can, we can develop pollinator friendly PV parks. And with that also try to increase the pollinators that we have in Europe and on a global level. Because with the climate change happening, also pollinator habitats have been drastically declining.
Right.
So there's a big impact also on different types of bees and other types of pollinators.
Yeah, this is the climate and biodiversity crises coming together at the same time.
Exactly.
And that solar's role to play with all the nice wildflowers that you can have in utility scale solar plants and bring back the bees.
Exactly.
So on bees and on biodiversity and on the lands that we use, we talk a lot about, especially in industry and in renewable development, we talk about land availability. And what exactly does that mean when you break it down?
Mm. I think, well, first of all, land availability concept, I think it's multidimensional mm-hmm. and complex. Because I think having the available land, having sustainable use of the land, I think that impacts directly the livelihoods of human beings and mm-hmm. the prosperity of the human beings. So I think land availability concept, it's directly linked to multiple of things. So it's linked to the energy transition, mm-hmm. To the having secure energy and how that land plays a role in developing, for instance, renewable energy projects. It is directly linked to the food security and to providing healthy food systems to everyone. It is also linked directly to having equal access to the housing. Mm-hmm. It also, I think, directly links to the environmental issues and also having healthy ecosystems, mm-hmm. nature restoration. So I think that's why it's a bit of a complex concept, because
yeah.
it's so multidimensional.
There's a lot that comes with those two words.
Exactly. And I think at the end of the day, what we also see how much climate and climate change does or leaves an impact on land, and the different aspects like economy, sustainability, environment, for the human beings.
So there's a lot of kind of, some would frame those different interests as competing interests or, you know, people fighting for this land availability. But one of the good things about solar, I guess, is that it's so versatile and can actually provide a solution to these, you know, competitions and making it more complementary land use and dual land use. So maybe you could explain how that works in under a minute. We're trying to do like 60 seconds of solar and PolicyCast this season.
Okay, yeah, that's tough to do.
I don't actually have a timer, but I'll just stop you if you go too long.
Okay, good. I'll try not to. But as you mentioned, so solar is very versatile technology. It's very adaptive. So you can adapt the solar technologies to different types of geographies, different types of climate conditions, and you can build it or install in different types of surfaces. So solar, for instance, can be installed on different rooftops. It can be built into building facades, which we called it a building integrated PV. There's also vehicle integrated PV. You can install PV on different types of car parks, old abandoned airports, etc. So all the urban sort of sealed urban surfaces you can use up for solar. So that's one type of. The second type of solar you can also use to repurpose land. So the land that potentially has lost its quality or characteristics. So especially looking at degraded land, you can build solar on degraded land and try to restore, or potentially with different types of management activities, restore the degraded land. You can also use PV to build on old wastelands, old quarries. So again, repurposing the type of land. And last but not least, you can also use so-called multiple use of land approach. So combining solar with, for instance, agricultural practices, or combining it with biodiversity. So increasing biodiversity in the solar parks, and also using different types of water bodies, which we call floating PV.
Okay. And this is where things like agri-solar and things come into play as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. So and some of these concepts are a bit newer. So floating solar or agri-solar and agri-PV. And what would we like to see from EU leaders and you know, policymakers to promote these solar solutions in sort of harmony with the environment?
But first of all, we're calling on the EU leaders to land a new urban renewable strategy that is actually looking at on facilitating and fully exploiting the potential of PV built on different sealed land areas or integrated into the urban landscape. So as I mentioned, for instance, rooftop PV or using PV on car parks, so any types of sealed land. So landing such a strategy will enable the potential of the solar PV technologies. And with that, also strengthen the communication with the different types of citizen communities, municipalities, and authorities to share the different knowledge and best practices of how citizens can gain the benefits from the solar PV.
Right, exactly. And we have a useful resource for that already, actually, in our Solar Cities report that you can find on our website. It's got 21 solutions for how solar and cities can help each other. So I would recommend checking that out. So that's kind of the urban side of things. And then on the rural side of things, what would really help from policymakers?
Exactly. So also landing a new EU rural renewable strategy would be helpful. That would provide first a guidance on how can we integrate and assess environmental aspects of solar PV, but also looking at how can we promote and facilitate the deployment of the dual use of land approaches. So again, looking at agri-solar, looking at floating PV, and also looking at biodiversity-friendly PV, and how can we enable best or how can we deploy these solutions on the ground? And with that, again, we're looking at how can the EU strengthen the communication and knowledge sharing between the relevant actors, such as the agricultural stakeholders, environmental stakeholders, and et cetera.
Yeah, and that's something that you've come back to a few times in your answers there. I mean, the role of communication and bringing these stakeholders that maybe don't usually work together to talk about some of these common challenges and opportunities. So how do we get to having a best practices there and sort of community engagement?
Yeah, so you already touched upon on the citizens report. So we have worked already a lot on this topic in the past year. So we developed a report and have launched different types of webinars where we engage with the different types of stakeholders. So looking at different types of cities, municipalities, authorities. Mm-hmm. So I think it's quite important that we continue this work and we expand on this network mm-hmm. and we strengthen even more the communication and the sharing of the best practices with these stakeholders. Also in different types of levels. So not only on national, but also on regional and local levels.
Yeah, getting really down to the kind of grassroots level of community engagement.
Exactly. Yeah. And then again, being able to showcase the communities, the citizens, what is the benefit they can gain from these energy projects.
And I mean, that's as solar and as renewables kind of expand, that's only going to, the need to be fully engaged in that kind of work is only going to grow because, you know, the more solar or the more wind that's out there, the more questions and concerns you get from citizens. So yeah, that's obviously a big piece of work that we're working on at Solar Power Europe.
Exactly.
And you know, we have our solar comms forum. If you're a member of Solar Power Europe, I'd recommend getting involved. We work together on some of these topics there, and it's we're developing our work plan on it at the minute. So lots of fun stuff coming down the line. And then we move to a different type of engagement, voting engagement. We bring it back to elections. So where will you be voting for, where will you be voting in the EU elections?
Yeah, so just a bit of a background, because I come from Latvia. So mm-hmm. in Latvia, you can vote either physically being in the country, you can go submit your vote, but you can also submit it through the mail if you are living abroad. So I'm being quite cautious of my CO2 footprint, so I'm not going to be flying home for the voting.
Very sensible.
Yeah, so I'm going to submit it through the mail.
And why do you think it's so important that European citizens get out and vote?
Yeah, to be honest, it's based on my own experience. I realize how important it is to see that we vote in for the EU leaders mm-hmm. that reflect your values and that shape your future you want to live in. So I've seen that it's very crucial to be the responsible EU citizen. I think that we should be.
Great. I mean, I think that's a perfect kind of call to action to end on, to be a responsible EU citizen. But thanks so much for sharing your insights today, Lena. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah. We'll see you again on PolicyCast.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. This podcast is brought to you by Solar Power Europe. If you don't want to miss our next episode, make sure to subscribe and turn on notifications. Shine on.